Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, Faith at Work, Sola Fide.
Our first lesson comes from Romans 3, 21 through 26. It can be found in the Pew Bible on page 916. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God put forward as a sacrifice to the atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus.
And our second lesson this morning comes to us from the letter of James, the second chapter. James writes, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill,' and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. And let us pray. Lord, we do give you thanks for the gift this day, the gift of worship, the gift of being able to gather in your name. And now as we sit beneath the teaching of your word, we would pray that the words of my mouth, that the meditations of our hearts together might find acceptance in your sight, for it is through Christ our Lord we pray it. Amen. A number of years ago, I was teaching a confirmation class retreat for a group of 7th and 8th graders. We were talking about basic Christianity, what it means to have faith, why it's necessary to put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior to be in a right relationship with God. I explained this gap that exists between a holy God that we worship and us, an unholy people. As we read in our passage from Romans this morning, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So God is holy and just and right and pure, and we know ourselves not to be that. So as much as we may desire to close that gap between us and God, I explain that despite our best efforts, our best intentions, our best desires, we are insufficient to be able to do that, which of course we think we can earn our way into God's favor, but of course we can't. We need another way to bridge the gap. We need someone to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Namely, we need a Savior. Now, as I was explaining all of this as best I could, they seemed just not to be getting it. It just sounded like words to them. They gave me that blank stare that adolescents can often give. Well, in fact, not just adolescents, some adults as well. So I abandoned my carefully written notes and had them stand on one end of the room and then asked them to imagine that God was standing on the other side of the room, then asked them to imagine a great chasm, a Grand Canyon-like chasm in depth and in width that was separating us from God, too far to bridge, too far to jump. Then I asked them how they were going to get from their side to the God side. They tried all sorts of answers. None of them they realized were sufficient. Standing on our side of this great divide, we knew that we were helpless and hopeless to get to God. And then I took a wooden cross, not unlike this one, that just happened to be in the room we were using that day, and I laid it on the floor across this great divide and told them about Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross for us and for our salvation. I told them how Jesus bridged the gap and then I invited them to walk across the cross. That act of walking by the way of Jesus, of trusting that the cross of Jesus is sufficient to hold us, is what it means to have faith. Faith alone, in Christ alone, for there is no other. If you were with us last week, we're starting to talk about three pillars of the Protestant Reformation, 16th century, and their importance and significance for us in our practice of the faith still today. Last week, we spoke of sola scriptura. Scripture alone gives us this message of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ alone. And today, we look at the second pillar, sola fide, faith alone, sola Christus, Christ alone. Christ alone is able to do this work for us that we're unable to do for ourselves. And faith alone is the means by which we make his sacrifice effective for our salvation. If we were to call Paul's letter to the Romans pure gospel, then the passage we read in Romans 3 is the essence of that purity. Some of you may recall that the Protestant Reformation was really sparked as Martin Luther read one verse in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, where he read that the righteous will live by faith. And suddenly that single passage reformed the entire way Martin Luther looked at God, the entire way he read Scripture, even saying of himself that in that reading he was reborn. No longer did he see God as the angry, wrathful deity, but as a God of sheer mercy and grace, as he justifies us through faith. Our passage then in Romans chapter 3 is Paul's further explanation of that short passage in Romans 1. And if you don't have this passage underlined in your Bible, if you haven't put a star or an asterisk by it, I'll encourage you to do so, because this passage alone, Romans 3, 21 through 26, is the whole gospel in miniature. We read here, but now, that is, now in Christ Jesus, God has given us a new way of salvation, but now, apart from the law being the old way we sought access to God, but now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets. That is, the Old Testament has been pointing to and preparing us for the coming of the Christ. But now, the righteousness of God comes through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. Since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, they are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, who God put forth as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, that is, the means by which we are brought close to God again, effective through faith. God justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. That's the whole gospel. That is the gospel message. As we put our trust in Christ and him alone, we are forgiven of our sins and made right with God because Jesus has made this way for us. But what does that mean, to put our trust in Jesus, to have faith? Is faith a matter of simply believing in Jesus, of thinking right thoughts about him, of holding to correct doctrine? No, it isn't. Is it a matter of simply believing that Jesus has done this sacrificial work for us? Yes, but it's something more than that as well. It is also acting on that belief. It is actually living as though we are confident that that truth will hold us. Frederick Buechner reminds us, faith is much better understood as a verb than it is a noun. It's more of a process than it is a possession. Faith is not simply something we have. It's something we do. It's something we are. It's a way we live. We spoke last week of Scripture alone revealing to us the way of salvation, this message of the cross. But is knowing the way of salvation sufficient? I don't believe so. Having faith is something different than having mere knowledge about faith. It requires some act of trust, some act of confidence on our part. When the Latin scholars tried to clarify this word faith as they translated Scripture, they used three different words to do so. Now, I'm not a Latin scholar, so after worship, you can correct me on my pronunciation here. But they used three words, fides, fidelitas, and fiducia. Fides, emphasize knowledge. An oft-used illustration of this is someone might say, I believe that airplanes fly. Or in our case, we might say, I believe there was a man named Jesus that some believe to be the Christ. Fides, knowledge. Fidelitas, the second word, emphasizes acceptance of that truth. Well, not only do I believe that airplanes fly, but if ever I was going to take a long trip, I think I would take an airplane. Or, I believe that Jesus really was the Christ, and if ever I was going to be a religious person, I think I would be a Christian. Fidelitas, acceptance of that truth. But neither of those is real faith. Both of those require thought and acceptance, but neither requires any action on our part. But not so the third, fiducia. Fiducia requires an act of trust. You see, there is a far cry between saying, I believe airplanes fly, and I would actually take an airplane, and then actually getting on an airplane and trusting that, in fact, that machine can do what it says it can do. The same is true of faith in Christ. To say, I believe in Jesus Christ, is to confess not only that you believe that he is who he said he is, not only that he did what he said he would do, but that we will rest in confidence, believing that his work was sufficient for our salvation. To have faith is not simply to believe in Jesus, not to believe that he was a good man or a wise teacher, but to actually trust him to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. That is to bridge this gap between us and a holy God by his sacrificial death, believing that there's no one else who can do that for us. In short, it is faith alone, by Christ alone. Sola fide, sola Christus. Do you remember hearing stories about the great tightrope walker Blondin? This was a man who could perform remarkable feats on a high wire. He'd walk between Niagara Falls, the shores of Niagara Falls. He could walk between tall buildings. And in order to prove that he wasn't actually just bragging about it, he actually did these things. So one day, after performing some incredible high wire act, he had the crowd gather around him, and he said, "Today I am going to push a man across the wire in a wheelbarrow. Do you think I can do it?" And all the crowd shouted, "Yes, yes, we think you can." And so Blondin turned to one very enthusiastic man and said, "Oh, good, then you are the man. Get in." Well, suddenly this man had to shift from interest and enthusiasm, acceptance and knowledge, into an action that he would take. Did he have confidence enough to step into the wheelbarrow to let Blondin do what he said he could do? Friends, that's what faith is. Faith, then, is not so much what we believe. That's only the starting point of faith. It's actually acting on what we say we believe, putting our whole trust, our whole confidence in the one in whom we say we believe. This is what I think James was getting at when he writes in his letter that faith without works is dead. We know that faith is not something that we do on our own. It's a gift of God. A gift of grace, not the result of any work so that no one may boast, but it is something we need to put into action. We know that good works without faith will not save us. That won't bridge the gap. We also, though, hear James say that faith without good works won't save us. So it seems that we cannot be saved by good works, but neither can we be saved without them. There's a necessary action we have to take. Put it another way, we don't have to build the bridge to God, but we do need to walk across it, and that's an act of faith. So we can know all about Jesus and what he has done, but still not have accepted, much less trusted, that he has done it in a way that is sufficient for us and our salvation. Of course, this story is apocryphal, but I think you'll get the point of it. A fellow dies and goes to heaven. He stands before the pearly gates, and there St. Peter greets him. He says, here's how it works. In order to get into heaven, you need to get 100 points. You tell me all the good things you've done, I'll give a point, credit to each one of those things. Once you get to 100, you get in. So the man says very proudly, I have been a member of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church my entire life. I never missed a single Sunday of Sunday school, and I never missed a Sunday of worship in my entire adult life. And Peter said, that is amazing. That's worth 2 points. The man was a bit taken back. He thought that was his best work of credit, and so he thought, and he said, well, I've been married to the same woman for 60 years and have never cheated on her once, not even in my heart. Peter nods approvingly and says, that is really good. That's worth 3 more points. Now the man feels really stuck. 3 points. Well, getting into heaven is going to be harder than I thought. Well, I started a soup kitchen in my city. I volunteered in a shelter for homeless veterans. And I taught middle school Sunday school for 43 years. Wow, says St. Peter, that is great. That's worth 2 more points. And now the man really panics. He realizes he's confessed every good deed he's ever done, and he's only got 7 points on his way to 100. And at that, he cries out in desperation, Lord, help me. At this point, only Jesus can save me. And Peter says, you're exactly right. 100 points. Come on in. Friends, the cornerstone of our faith, the central message of Scripture, the turning point of the Protestant Reformation is this: faith alone, in Christ alone, for there is no other. He alone is the one who has bridged the gap between us and God, our sinful, broken selves, and this just and holy God. He has done his part. Now we must do our part. He has laid before us the way of the cross, and all, anyone, everyone who walks across it is welcomed in. The righteousness of God is by faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. So hear this as plainly as Scripture gives it to us. You no longer need to try and earn your way into God's good favor. It just doesn't work that way. It never has, and it never will. We are insufficient to work out our own salvation. God, though, has made a way for us in Jesus Christ. God justifies the one who has faith in Jesus, which means either we are made right with God by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, or we are not made right with God at all. Sola fide, sola Christus. Amen. And let us pray. Lord, we will confess that we will try anything to earn your approval, but we know that we are insufficient to do so. We fall far short of the glory of God. And so this day, we give humble thanks that you have made the way through Christ, the one we call Savior and Lord. It's in his name we pray. Hear our prayer.